If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. While you're turning there, I know it's going to be unusual for someone like me to preach a message like this, because you think, well, he probably don't know a whole lot about that. And I'm going to preach a little bit about how to walk and how to have a good walk with the Lord. And I'm not much of a runner, but I do know how to walk. And if you go to the doctor will tell you one of the best things you can do is walk. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about Enoch this morning. Enoch is an unusual character or person in the Bible. He's one of the only two people who lived without dying. And we know that Enoch walked with God. Enoch was not, for God took him. The other one being, of course, was Elijah being taken up in a whirlwind. But I want to look at some special things about Enoch. And there's not any monuments or any great tabernacles that Enoch built or any great battles that Enoch fought and conquered any cities or any kingdoms. Enoch just walked with God. And Enoch was a unique person and unusual. And I want you to look at this scripture in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 18. It says this: "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And so I wanted to preach a little bit about this walk that Enoch had. And Enoch, it doesn't say a whole lot about him. You can find it a little bit of scripture over in Hebrews. It talks about Enoch, the faith that Enoch had. And other than that, there's not a whole lot about Enoch. But Enoch walked with God. And I want to point out some things about Enoch's walk. First, we can learn from Enoch's walk that I believe it was a chosen walk. I believe Enoch made a choice to walk with God. And if you'll look at the scripture in verse number 22, when it talks about Enoch, it's something unique here that I saw. It says that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. It tells a point in time where Enoch has made a decision to walk with God. And it says after he begot Methuselah. And I'll say this, once you have children, it'll change some things. And you may be wanting to do your things, your desires, but once you have children, I believe that after that, it says here that Enoch, after he begot Methuselah, it changed Enoch. Enoch changed. Something happened in his heart. I don't know what kind of life Enoch lived before he had children, but I do know that after he had his son Methuselah, I believe it changed his life, and Enoch made a conscious decision to make a choice to walk with the Lord. And Enoch's walk was a chosen walk. After he had his son, it changed him. I feel like Enoch at some point in his life had a Joshua moment when he said, "If it seem evil in you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom will you serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I believe Enoch had that moment in his life when he realized, you know what, I'm not going to serve this world anymore. I'm going to serve God, and my house is going to serve the Lord. And I believe Enoch's walk was a choice and a chosen walk to walk with God. Now, I believe also his walk was not real popular. I believe his walk was a choice of his heart, an attitude. To walk with God, you're going to have to change your attitude. It's going to have to be a choice of your attitude. Your desires cannot be the most overwhelming thing in your life anymore. You're going to have to make God's desires your desires and God's goals your goals. And I said it earlier today, You know, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And if you're going to truly walk with the Lord every day of your life, you're going to have to be in agreement with the Lord. And I believe that Enoch had made a conscious decision and a choice and a change of his attitude that he was going to be in agreement with God. And so I believe he chose to walk with God, even though it wasn't popular. I believe his choice was a choice of his attitude. I believe he chose to walk, to change his attitude. Not only that, but I believe he changed his action. His choice of his actions changed. And then also, I believe he changed his association. I don't know that Enoch walked with someone else before then. I don't think that Enoch was a Satan worshiper and then he decided to serve God. I believe Enoch probably was a good man, probably loved his wife, loved his family. But Enoch made a choice to walk with God. And I believe he changed his association. You know, when someone walks with someone else, you have to be in agreement. And, you know, I've been at the mall before. We went to the Lexington Barbecue Festival yesterday. And if you'll just watch, you'll see who's walking with who. And you say, well, they're identifying themselves with those people. And when you walk with someone, you make a conscious decision to identify yourself with them. You can clearly look in the mall particularly and see who's with who because they're walking with them. And I've seen it. I've been walking before and realized I was walking with the wrong person. And I look over, and my wife had stopped and looked at something else and thought I was walking beside of her and was actually walking beside a stranger. And immediately I stop and get back where I'm supposed to be. And but we need to choose how we're going to identify yourself. And you need to make a conscious decision. How are you going to identify yourself in private? How are you going to identify yourself with your family and on your job and in public? It's a choice how to identify yourself. And Enoch identified himself with God. Enoch says, I'm going to walk with God. And he did that after he begot Methuselah. Not only was Enoch's walk a chosen walk, but I believe Enoch's walk was a contrary walk. I believe that Enoch, to walk with God, he had to go against some things. And I don't think it was easy. I think that Enoch was in total agreement with God. In order to walk with him, I believe that on the negative side of things, I believe that Enoch had to go contrary to some things. I believe, number one, he had to go contrary to the pull of the flesh. No doubt in my mind, I try to walk with the Lord every day. I set out every day. I tell the boys this all the time. I said it this morning. Boys, get dressed. Get ready for church. Have your Bibles ready. We're going to have a good day. No fighting, no arguing. And don't roughhouse with the dog. That's what I tell them. Because they're getting ready, they'll get the roughhousing with the dog, get the dog all riled up. And then before I know it, they'll be in there arguing and fighting over who's going to play with the dog and all that. So I told them this morning, don't roughhouse with the dog. Just get dressed, no fighting, no arguing. In other words, what I'm saying is we're going to set out to have a good day. And I do that every morning. I tell the boy, I said, let's just have fun. Let's serve the Lord. Let's have a great day. And that's my goal about every day of my life. I don't ever set out to have a bad day. I don't ever set out to hear bad news. I don't set out to say, well, I'm going to ruin someone else's day. I tell the boys when they get in trouble and get disciplined, I say, you know what? I didn't wake up this morning and say, Zach, I woke up this morning and going to find five reasons why to spank you today. I don't wake up and do that. I try to have a good day every day. And I believe, but you know, there's a pull of our flesh. Our flesh is pulling against us. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You know, like I said, you know, this walk is a chosen walk. You have to make a choice to serve God. But I believe it's also a contrary walk, and to go contrary to some things. I believe, number one, we've got to go contrary to the pull of our flesh. You're going to have to say, your flesh wants to do some things. You're going to have to say no to the flesh. I'm 42 years old, right? I can watch anything I want to watch. I can go anywhere I want to go. I can listen to any kind of music I want to, but I make a decision not to listen to country and rock and roll music. I make a decision not to go to the places of the world. I make a decision not to watch certain things on television or movies. And I make a decision for my hands not to touch things and not to drink alcohol, not to smoke cigarettes. You have to make a conscious decision to go against the pull of your flesh. Because your flesh is continually wicked. Your flesh wants the desires of its heart. And so I believe you know, contrary to walk with God, you've got to go contrary to some things. And that pull of the flesh, not only the pull of the flesh, but you've got to go contrary to the practices of men. I believe that the traditions of men and what's pleasing to other people sometimes may not be what's pleasing to God. And I know sometimes taking a stand for the Lord, standing with the Lord, sometimes your family may not understand why you dress the way you dress, why you talk the way you talk, why you won't go certain places. And I believe that the practices of men sometimes, for instance, we got Halloween coming up. And so to go, I believe his walk was a contrary walk. And we got Halloween coming up, but that's the practices of men. And you know, I believe to walk with God, sometimes our walk has to be a contrary walk. And contrary to our flesh and contrary to the practices of men. Not only that, but contrary to the philosophies of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So not only is our walk a contrary walk, contrary to the pull of the flesh, the praises, practices of men, but the philosophies of this world. I'm telling you, this world is wicked. This world is trying to convince us in advertisements and television and movies, trying to sway our minds and our hearts to things that are evil. And you're going to have to go against the philosophies of this world. And if you're going to walk with God. And I believe Enoch did that. I believe he went contrary to some things. Not only was Enoch's walk a chosen walk and a contrary walk, but I believe Enoch's walk was a committed walk. I believe Enoch was committed to the Lord. That's a walk of faith and of trust. And you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have trust in your life. You're going to have to put some trust in God that He's going to provide for you and He's going to take care of you. And you're going to have some faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it talks of Enoch. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And I want to look at this committed walk. I believe that Enoch's walk was so committed. He was committed to this. And I'm going to tell you how. If you look at that scripture, it says that Enoch was translated. It says before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And it, I think it's interesting that if you look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah." After he had his son, he made a conscious decision to walk with God after he begot Methuselah. And but in the Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about before he translated. So you see that after and before, that before and after. And so after he had his son, he made a decision to serve God. But before God took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so before I die, I want my family to know that I please God. Amen. I want my loved ones to know, my friends to know that, you know what? He did everything he could do to please the Lord. And you know, we fail at that every day, and it's a committed walk. And but I believe we're going to have to walk with God and trust Him for our salvation. We're going to have to trust Him for strength to serve Him every day, for security in the Lord. And we're going to have to trust God for our supplies and trust God to have success in our lives. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." He said, "Moreover." He said, more than anything, it's required that a man be found faithful. I mean, more than having great riches, more than having a nice car, more than having a nice job and having a house and all that, it's required that a man be found faithful. Moreover, and you know, being faithful to me And I may be dead wrong on this. I don't think that I am. But being faithful is one of the easiest things a person could do. I'm faithful to my wife. You know why? Because I'm there. Amen? And she's faithful to me. You know why? Because she's there. When I go to bed, she's there. When I wake up, she's there. Whenever we leave for school in the morning, and me and my wife, we work together side by side every day, day in, day out. I said, we work together 30 days out of the month, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But who's counting, right? And I said, we're together all the time. I feel like we get along pretty good for being two people that work together all the time. And if you're going to work together all the time, it's good to get along, right? But being faithful, just being faithful. My wife is faithful to me. You know why? She's always there for me. You know, you can't be faithful if you're not there. So that's what faithfulness is. In essence, that's what faithfulness is. What is faithfulness? It's just doing what you know to do right. Being faithful to reading your Bible is what? Reading your Bible on a regular basis. Being faithful to church is being at church. Being faithful to your wife is being there for your wife, right? Being faithful to your children is being there for your children. So basically, being faithful is just being there, right? So, being faithful to church. And it says, moreover, brother, it's required that a man be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. Somebody asked me one time, how many preacher boys are you raising? And I told him, I'm not trying to raise preacher boys. I'm trying to raise some young men that will be faithful to their wives, faithful to their children, faithful to their employer, faithful to their church. Amen? I'm trying to raise some young men that will be good to their wives and good to their children and raise their children, faithful to the Lord. And that's our goal in the ministry. But, you know, you can't do that unless you're committed. So I believe Enoch's walk with God was so different that it was a chosen walk. I believe it was a contrary walk. And then thirdly, I believe it was a committed walk. And then also, I believe it was a changed walk. I believe his walk changed him. Not only do I believe his walk changed him, but I believe his walk changed some other people around him. His walk or his manner of life, obviously, was different. People saw it. It says that before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That means his testimony. What do people think about you? Do people think that you're faithful? Do people think that you're true? Do people think that they can trust you? What do people think of you? Because Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God. He had the testimony while on earth. You know, I don't want a testimony that's left behind and after I'm dead and gone. I want the testimony now. Amen? So that people can see, not me, but that people can see the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, that it might lead others to Christ. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says Enoch was translated. Hey, what kind of testimony do you have before you're translated? Amen? Do you going to please God? I believe Enoch's walk was a peculiar walk. I believe it was different. I think we should be peculiar. I think we shouldn't be like this world. I think we should be different than this world. I think that also the Enoch's walk was powerful. I believe Enoch's walk had an impact. And I'm going to tell you why I believe it had an impact. It's because look at Methuselah. And what does the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 5? I believe it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that ye may live, what? Long on the earth. Methuselah, it says, lived after he begat Lamech 702 years, and begot sons and daughters, and the days of Methuselah were 969 years. 969 years Methuselah lived, the oldest man to ever live. Somebody taught him how to honor his family, didn't he? Honor his parents. I believe Enoch, by his faithful living and faithful walk, taught his son how to walk with the Lord and taught his son how to honor his mom and his dad and how, most of all, how to honor God. And God used that. And Methuselah lived a long time. And I want to point out something, too. You know, Enoch was taken out just before the judgment came and before the flood. We know that just before the flood came, God took him out. And God spared his life because of his walk with God. And so I believe his walk was a powerful walk, and it's prophetic. It reminds us of the rapture. I just mentioned that that he was taken out before the judgment comes. And you know, God's going to take us out of here before the judgment comes too. Amen. And that's his promise, but you're going to have to walk with him. And not only that, was a picture to the lost and to the saved. He preached and portrayed a changed walk. Another place in the Bible that talks about Enoch is in Jude. Jude 14 and 15, the verse 14 and 15. So not a whole lot said about Enoch except in Genesis and Hebrews and then again in Jude. So I want to look at that real quick. What kind of preacher was Enoch? What kind of preacher was, what kind of person? What did Enoch have to say? If he had a testimony that he pleased God, what did Enoch say to people? Listen to what Enoch said. I believe Enoch didn't play around. The Bible says this: Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these things, saying, "Behold, Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." He looked to the coming of the Lord. Hey, his walk with the Lord was a prophetic walk. Amen. He said, "You know what? And I want people to look at me and say, you know what? He believes in God. He's trusting in God. I believe it's so real." In Roy Eisenhart's life, I believe God is true. I believe God is real by watching Roy's life. And this should be that way. When you look at your pastor or your family looks at you, they should see realness in your life to the point that they say, you know what, there's something different about that person. You know what, maybe God is true. Maybe salvation is real. And because they've got something I don't have. And I believe that's what was happening here. Listen to what Enoch says. He prophesied that the Lord was coming with 10,000s of his saints. It says to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Boy, Enoch was a preacher, wasn't he? He called them ungodly 3 or 4 times. He didn't hold back. You know why? Because he knew judgment was coming. Enoch was taken out just before the flood. So Noah wasn't the only one that preached judgment was coming. Enoch, long before Noah started preaching judgment was coming, Enoch was preaching. He said, you need to repent from your ungodly ways and of your ungodly deeds and your hard speeches and ungodly sinners. Boy, not many preachers will preach like that nowadays, much less back then. And Enoch's walk was different. People knew by looking at his life and listening to him preach and him talk and how he lived that his walk was different. Enoch had a walk with God. How's your walk with the Lord? Now you can run if you want to. Run if you will. Makes me think of Brother Lester Roloff. But you know, the doctor told me the best thing for me to walk. You would think, well, why not running? Running, get your heart rate up a little bit long, you know, higher, and seems like everyone that runs is in good shape. But you know, the doctor said walk. And if you're walking, you're moving, right? You're doing something. Walking with the Lord is doing something. Now you can try to run if you want to, but you're going to wear yourself out real quick running. These boys are all the time worried about who's the fastest. We all know that JB, raise your hand JB, he is the fastest, okay? He runs like a jackrabbit. I mean, he's fast. And everywhere we go or meet some new kids, he always wants to know if they're faster than him. So old grandpa get up off his rocking chair and outrun them. But the only one that's ever come close to beating him was a 40-year-old man. That was hilarious. But we was at youth camp. We had a big race, and this 40-year-old guy's like, I'll race with him. I thought, okay, he's a pretty big guy, probably about 220 pounds. Son, he took off that starting line, and he just about outran JB. It was close. And he's the only one out of all the teenagers that stayed with JB. And he's fast. But you know, running is great. And it is exercise, but you can't run all the time. You can't run wide open all the time. You'll kill yourself running wide open all the time. Now, on the contrary, if you're standing still for very long, you're probably dead too. So there's got to be a balance. And I believe our lives need to be balanced. Walking is a balanced thing. You're not overexerting yourself, but you're not sitting still doing nothing. I believe you need to do something for the Lord. And you say, well, what can I do? I can't do nothing for the Lord. I promise you, you walk with the Lord, and the Lord will give you something to do. There's always something to do. Not everybody can run a boys' home. Not everybody can pastor this church. Not everybody can play the bass guitar. Not everybody can maybe run a van route and pick up kids. Not everybody's designed to do everything. But I'm telling you this, what you can do, be faithful. Be faithful. You know, Enoch's walk was a faithful walk. And that's what it was. It was all about Enoch's faith. He just walked with the Lord. I said at the beginning of the message, Enoch didn't build no great tabernacles. Enoch didn't kill any giants. Enoch didn't win any great battles or conquer any great lands. There's no monuments or no any temples built in honor of Enoch. Only thing Enoch did was walked. That's all he did was walked. And you know, it's our daily life. We just need to walk with the Lord every day. Stay faithful. Stay consistent. Hey, I'm going to tell you, is just staying consistent and keep walking with the Lord. Don't worry about it. Don't look to your left. Look to your right. Don't look ahead of you. You look ahead of you, you get your eyes off of where you're walking. If you look behind you, you're probably going to stumble and you're going to lose track of where you're at. If you look to the left or to the right to see what other people are doing, you're going to get sidetracked. You look at the course that God set for you. And you say, well, I think of Christine and her husband. I think it's great. I watched your wife grow up from a little girl, and I think it's great. And Stephanie and her husband just serving the Lord, staying faithful. Man, that's what it's about. You know, that's just serving the Lord every day. I've watched Brother Harold over the years just keep plugging right along. Just be faithful. Just staying faithful. That's what this life is about. It's not who can be out in front and who can be first and who's end up being last and I can beat this person and all that. It's not a competition. It's a walk. It is a race. Don't get me wrong. And there's a time to race. And there's a time to run. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord says it, moreover, brethren, it's required that a man be found faithful. Just be faithful. If you'll be faithful to this church, faithful to the Lord most of all, I believe you'll be faithful to the Lord, you'll be faithful to church, amen? You'll be faithful in your Bible reading. This church could be a lighthouse to a lost and dying world right here in this community. And there's people around here that need the Lord. And I tell you, there's people down at Walmart that need the Lord. There's people living in these neighborhoods that need the Lord. You know how I know? Because my son's wife, Lindsay, lives just a few roads over. That's where she was born and raised, just a few roads over. And I thought about that. Was always curious to me about how she's from this neighborhood, this community. This is where she was born and raised. And I, to think that this is your responsibility. This is the place that God's given you to go out and reach this neighborhood and this community for the Lord. You know, that's my daughter-in-law. You know, that's my uncle that works at Walmart. That's my family that works down there. When you start thinking of it like that on a personal level, you know, that's your loved ones. It's totally different. You know, they're real people. So many times we minimize the job at hand, and we realize that, you know what, we just look at them as, well, I gave out 10 gospel tracts today. No, you talk to 10 people that was someone's son, someone's daughter, someone that's dying and going to a devil's hell. That's what you've done. And it's important just to stay faithful and keep serving the Lord. Enoch's walk, it was a chosen walk. And your walk's going to, you have to make a choice to walk with the Lord. It was a contrary walk. If you walk with the Lord, it may be contrary to some things. Contrary to your flesh, contrary to other people, and contrary to the things of this world. But it'll be worth it. It'll be a changed walk. And I believe your life can change some things. You can change things in your life, and you can change things in other people's lives. What if I wasn't walking with the Lord? What if Brother Harold wasn't walking with the Lord? Look at the change that God's done in your heart since your pastor's been here, and these boys, I think of my son, Sean. He's a Randolph County Sheriff's Deputy. He's on the SWAT team here in Randolph County. I guess this is Randolph County too, right? Because I know he patrols Randleman and Archdale area. And so he's on SWAT team, and I think, He's a sheriff's deputy. He's on the SWAT team. But you know what he does every week? Goes out and knocks on doors, brings kids to church. He runs a van route, picks up kids. Well, how in the world could God take a boy that was in a boy's home, give him a good Christian wife, that goes faithful to church, sings in the choir, he even sings in the youth choir. He's 26 years old, sings in the youth choir. You know why? Because every opportunity he can to serve the Lord. You know why? He's just trying to be faithful. He mows the churchyard. He works at the church. Every time there's a church activity, he's there. Just being faithful. Well, you know what? I'm not trying to pin a rose on my nose. What if I'd have quit walking with the Lord, Brother Harold, a long time ago? What if I'd have let the things of this life sidetrack me and say, you know what? It just ain't worth it anymore. I'm tired of it. I've had people turn and walk the other way, walk away from us. You know, friends that I thought would be there forever turned their back on us and walked away. And, you know, I've had people do us wrong, and I've done people wrong too, you know, and it's not been an easy life, but it's been worth it. But you know what? We gotta keep walking for the Lord, being faithful. And I think of Sean. If I had quit, my boys, if I had quit, how many boys would have just not had opportunity? Think about this. God knew that these boys were going to need a people. So God called a people. God called me and my wife. God knew that these boys were going to need a place. God provided a place. There at Walters Grove Baptist Church, we live on church property. God gave us a place. Not only that, but God knew these boys was going to need provisions. God's used churches just like this to provide for these boys. Amen? Isn't that amazing how God works? And it all comes from people just being faithful. Amen? How's your walk with the Lord? Are you running? Might need to slow down. Are you standing still, doing nothing? Might need to start walking. Need to have a walk with the Lord. Have a faithful walk. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Lord, I